right, good morning. Join me in John 4. We'll be there. We are, again, going through a series of Jesus and the woman and the well. There's just so much there, and then the original plan was to tackle it in a week, and then we were going to keep on moving, and then it just as the more we study it, just the more that unfolds, and so where we are at, and we're the focus passage today is John 4:12. We are going to read a broader section of that, 5 through 14, for the context. But pretty much we're familiar with the woman at the well and that story, or that historical time there. But Jesus comes to a place that's in Samaria. It's a historically it is a significant place, a piece of land where Jacob had dug a well and gave it to Joseph. We can find the story of Jacob back in Genesis. This specifically, talking about this land, is a connection that scholars say it's in Genesis 33. And we know it's about noontime that she's come to draw water at a time where most people don't draw water because of her background and her reputation. We've talked about that. And Jesus is there, not by accident, but on purpose to talk to this woman. And so far in this series, we've looked at Jesus and the living water, where he's talking about the living water and pouring out the Holy Spirit. We've looked at worshiping in spirit and truth. And then today, we're answering that question, is Jesus greater than Jacob? But let's read out of John 4. And before we do so, let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, as we gather and as we open your word, I pray that you would open our hearts, open up our ears, our heart, our minds, Lord, to all that you have for us today. Lord, you know the transformation that this sermon has taken in my heart, Lord, over this week and the things you've done. And Lord, may we be a people, Lord, who worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, we already know the answer to the question that's in this title. Is Jesus greater? Of course you are greater. We know that. But Lord, as we look at that, as we reflect on that, Father, I pray that you would draw us closer to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And out of John 4, verses 5 through 14. And it says, so he, Jesus, came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then would you get that living water? You are not greater, and here comes the question, you are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So here, a familiar passage. We've read from this pastor, the passage the last couple times that I've preached. But here we see and we focus today on that question. That question that we find in verse 12, where it says, you are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Now, who is Jacob and why is he so great? First of all, Jacob, we find him, he's in the book of Genesis. He is the son of Isaac and the grandson of Abraham. And we know, remember Esau, there was the twins, there was the hairy brother. He put on the goatskin, tricked his brother out of his blessing. We know that he wrestled with God, and we know that later he is named Israel. And that should be a familiar name. And so as the beginning of when the beginning was back with Abraham and the covenant that God made with him, but the covenant, it continues through his grandson here. We know the 12 sons that he had who eventually became the 12 tribes. So it's very historically, it's a very significant name, a very significant person, a very significant place. And you imagine living in an arid land where water sometimes can be scarce, and this well was the greatest source of water for them and their livelihood, their lives. They depended on this place of water, whether it be for them, whether it be for their livestock, whether it be for their agriculture, or however that they chose to use this water. And it wasn't an aquifer. It was one where the water from the rain, from the dew, from different things, it would seep down into the ground, and it would fill up this, and they would fill up this hole, this well, and it would draw the water out. But here we see that she asked Jesus if he was greater than the one who has given them life and sustained their life for generations through this well. This was a significant place and a significant person in their culture. And Jesus never says that he is greater until verse 26, where he says that he is the Messiah. He answers her question there. But here, just imagine. Here he is saying that, yes, I am greater than this temporary. And that's what he did here. He never answered it directly. Yes, of course I am. No, but instead he showed her that she was counting on, that which that she was comparing him to, was temporary. Each day she would have to return to this well, but the things that Jesus would offer would bring eternal life. He began at the heart with her. And of course, we, as I said in the prayer, we already know the answer to her question. Yes, Jesus is greater. She, of course, didn't know this. She didn't have the New Testament at the time. She couldn't read through this and be very familiar with a very common story in the book of John. But we see, again, that Jesus contrasted that which is temporary with that which is forever. And we just read in Psalms 96, and we'll read through that again in just a moment as we open up the sermon, about those things that are become idols or other gods in our life. And this, things like these temporary things, they can get in the way of things that are forever. And Jesus is greater. And so just want to talk about Jesus is greater. How do we do that? We know that he's sustained here. If you've ever applied for a job before, you have a resume, you put a cover letter in, and the whole purpose of that document is to show how you are greater than the next guy or the next gal. You know, they're going to look at it for about 3 seconds, and hopefully something will catch their eye. And so, but what is the thing that really proves it? It is the references. And so what I want to look at is the claims of Jesus that other men have made. We'll look at John the Baptist, at Paul, at Hebrew, the writer of Hebrews, of Peter, and then John the apostle. And this sermon has been one that started off. If you've ever taught or say, you know, just some sermons are just like punching a bag. You're just going to come and just wear it out. And then some just kind of wear you out and just bring you to a place of worship. And this is what this sermon has done. It started off with of course, Jesus is greater. He's greater like this and greater like that and greater like this. And then it's one that has just resulted in, Jesus, you are greater. You are greater. And that's where we're going with this today. But we're going to read several things. They're going to be on the board. I think they're going to be on the board. I got them to them a little late. I was out of town for part of this week. But first, what did John the Baptist say? We're going to look at John 1. You can follow me. And we're going to go through order in the scripture as far as in the direction. We're going to start off with John 1, verses 29 and 34. What did John the Baptist say about Jesus? When it says the next day he saw, talking about John the Baptist, saw Jesus come into him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then down in 34, he says, "I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." Jesus is greater. And then Paul, we're going to look at Philippians 2. And then after we look at Philippians, we're going to go to Colossians 1. But Philippians 2, and specifically verses 6 through 11, and where Paul writes, and he says, "Who, although Jesus existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Well, that doesn't sound so great. Well, listen to this. "And for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus is greater. Then in Colossians, right, Paul continues in his writing in another epistle where he, in verses 15 through 18, Paul writes about Jesus, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." Jesus is greater. Then in chapter 2, verse 9, Paul describes him as saying, "For in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." And so he is greater. Then the writer of Hebrews writes in Hebrews 1, verse 3, And it says that he is, if you're reading up there and you see where I'm saying specific names where there's a pronoun, because of the context, I'm bringing in the name of who that pronoun is about. And I do this again here. "And he, Jesus, is the radiance of his, God's glory." So to read that with the names there. "And Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he has made purifications of all sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus is greater. And then go looking over again through the references of Jesus here. And Peter, in his introduction in 2 Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, specifically the second half of verse 1, where it says, "To those who have received the faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So he defines Jesus Christ as our God and our Savior. Jesus is greater. And then John, just flipping the pages a couple more, in 1 John 5. And if I'm going too quickly, hopefully you can write those down on your notes, or you're reading them behind me. And definitely I encourage you to always, always go back and read every verse that we talk about here, and test it, and keep that which is good. And in verse 20, it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Jesus is greater. So why is this important, and what do we do with it? And I had a list of things, and this is where the transition of the sermon came, is just have one point today, and that is to worship him. Jesus is greater, and he is to be worshiped him. Remember what we just read in Psalms? Again, what we were in the sermon, we were going to break down all kinds of different things about how, we're just going to throw that page out right now. We're going to talk about how Jesus is greater than all creation, greater than Abraham, greater than Moses, greater than David, greater than Solomon and Jonah and John the Baptist, greater than the temple. We're going to look at how Jesus is greater than the church, greater than the angels, greater than all other names. But we know that Jesus is greater. So what do we do with that? What do we do that? We worship him. And how do we worship him? And I specifically wanted to look in, to go back to Psalms. I mean, it started off there. How do we worship him? Each and every day, we can go through each day, and I would imagine even if we sat down, there would be some of us, hopefully just a small portion of us, that really didn't think about the things of God until maybe last night when we thought about, where are we going to go to church? Are we going to go to church? What are we going to wear when we go to church? And we know that Jesus is greater. You didn't need me to stand up and tell you that today and point out those scriptures. We know that Jesus is greater, but what do we do with it each and every day? What we just read in Psalms, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Psalms 95, if we go back and look at the first verse there, oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Psalms 97, I mean, it just goes on and on. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let many islands be glad, and it goes on. And then Psalms 98, and I'm just picking out how each of these psalms starts out. I encourage you to read them all. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained victory. And then Psalms 99, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. And then Psalms 100, I shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth serve the Lord with gladness. Psalms 101, I will sing of loving kindness and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. And then in Psalms 102, it's not sing, but we see a prayer. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry for help come to you. Oh, we see that Jesus is greater. He is greater than, he's greater than all of our sin. He's greater than all of our problems. He is greater than all of our fears, greater than all of our needs, greater than whatever you can fill in the blank there. Jesus is greater. But what do we do with it? What do we do with it? And a big idea today, again, this is kind of we're not done yet. The big idea, Jesus is worthy of our worship. But in my notes, as I was going back through this, Jesus is worthy of all our worship, every day and every moment. So Jesus is greater. If I was to ask you that before we came in and gave you a true, false, or even answer, who is the greatest? We'd have God, or we'd write Jesus or something along those lines. But Jesus is greater. But what do we do with that? Going back to Psalms 96 that we read in the beginning, where it says, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. And then I should have even went further up. It says, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I'm in verse 4. And he is to be feared above all gods. And these gods, what he's talking about the idols. What are the things in our lives? What are the things that we worship? What is in your life? What is it? Is it something that you're worrying about? Is it about, finances, job, relationship, marriage, children, home, travel, storms? Whatever it could be, what are we seeking? What do we hope to attain? What is in our lives, and what are the things that get in the way of our worshiping Jesus Christ? Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. And what we just read here is sing. Sing, 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 sing. And I had no idea this is the direction of the sermon was going to take. Like I said, I had something planned. If you're interested in reading those, I'll give you the notes. But Jesus is greater. And I just want you to reflect today on the way that you worship each and every day. Josh opened up this morning and very appropriately said, "Welcome to worship today." And we call this worship. But really, worship is something that is not just something that takes place on a Sunday morning at a specific hour. It's something that is in our hearts each and every day. We know that the pure worship is obedience to his word. I mean, we can show up and we can read the word, we can sing different things, but if we don't go out and we don't live it, then it's really not worship. We just attended an event. But this worship is where the Holy Spirit has brought me today. And I just want to share my daily worship and what it looks like often. Sometimes it takes different places. It takes place in different ways, depending on the day, depending on the word. But often, worship and the worship I want, if Jesus is greater in your life, how do you worship him each and every day? One way that I do is by starting out the day with my Bible, with my journal. There's some things that I just want to write down. Maybe it's a passage of scripture. Maybe it's a prayer. Maybe it's just something that he puts on my heart in the midst of it. And we'll sit there and often it begins with a chair. Sometimes, or most of the time, a cup of coffee. And I just sit. And I sit and I just soak in the Word of God. And sometimes I just meditate. And I not meditate like home or whatever you want to, but just, Lord, your word. Your word here says, sing to the Lord a new song. What is a new song? Do I have to learn a new song? No, it's talking about something fresh in your heart. And so who are we? We are, you know, we pray about many things. We pray for revival. We pray for this. We pray for that. But none of that matters if we are not a people who are worshiping him in spirit and in truth each and every day. You know, and one of the things, I am not a singer, but I might sing to you a little bit today. But often in the midst of this, a song does come to my heart. Have you ever experienced that just in the middle of reading the Bible or just thinking about God or something? It's just a song just wells up in your heart. Oh, if we're a people that begin to focus on God and we begin to sing to him and pour our hearts out to him, there's no telling what he'll do. Jesus is greater. And how do we live it each and every day? Some songs that's one a song that wells up in my heart all the time is that song. It's I just learned the title. I haven't been singing it for years, but Step by Step. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning. And I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Some of y'all are sitting there thinking, we're glad we didn't hire him to be the worship leader. And that's okay, because guess what? The new song in my heart isn't for you. The new song that I sing in my heart is usually one that I'm sitting under a tree or next to the shoreline or at my coffee table at 5 something in the morning all by myself, and I'm just pouring out my heart before the Lord. And we don't have to be a worship leader. You don't have to be a Chris Tomlin-like tenor, which praise God for that. I don't know where Josh is. I'm making fun of him right now. But I'm not making fun of him. God has given him a gift. And Rhonda and all the choir members, you sing so beautiful. But we don't have to be that. We're a people who worship him. And what we find in the scripture and what I just read over and over, and there's so many more. You know, I've shared with y'all, I think at least on Wednesday night, I'm going through Psalms, and everywhere I see sing, I'm putting a music note to it. Man, it's full of music notes. Jesus is greater. We know that. How are we worshiping him each and every day? Another song that's been on my mind, this is Knowing You, Jesus. Knowing You, there is no greater thing, and it keeps on going on. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. When's the last time you told the Lord you loved him? When's the last time you said, good morning, Lord? I love you, Lord. Another one that was on my on my heart and is worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of all glory and honor, worthy of all the glad songs that we sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. You are worthy, Father, Creator. You're worthy, Savior, Sustainer. You are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of all worship and praise. As Josh is coming up, and I'm wrapping up early today. Y'all write that down. To give you time to go worship him in some way. Jesus is greater. I got done with all that sermon that was, again, you can have it. I was like, y'all know this. We know it. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? I almost asked Josh to sing this morning, but it's a hard one. Another one that's been on my heart. Or forget about one that's been on my... Does anybody have a song that's been on your heart this week? You don't have to sing it. Just raise your hand. Tell me a song that's been on your heart this week.
I don't even know who sings it.
That's okay. I hardly ever either.
It's thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Praise your name in the morning light. Gonna keep on praising in morning, noon, and night. Thank you, Lord, for this day.
She might dance at hers. I like it. I like it. And did you see what she did while she was singing it? Boom. She raised her hands. Friends, this isn't a charismatic thing. This is a Bible thing. It's usually men that we find doing it in Scripture. There's two things when they're praising God. Either they're standing and their hands are raised high, or we find them that they're kneeling before the Lord. Friend, when's the last time you've knelt before the Lord? When's the last time that you've raised his hand? I tell you, this is good, and we want Josh and the praise team and the choir to do an excellent job. And I want to bring a home run every week when it comes to preaching the sermon. But what it matters is our worship. Jesus is greater. He is greater than anything and everything that could be in your heart and your mind. Are you worshiping him today? Don, what was the song you had in your heart this week?
The name of it's Cleansed.
Cleansed. Amen.
Right with my God for all time because Christ our Lord is alive.
Amen. Amen. And I bet you something like that, if you're going through a place where just, man, that, I mean, that's just, amen.
One of the lines in there is, I am Holy Ghost filled and water baptized.
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful song.
And you're proclaiming that. You know, we have an enemy that's a deceiver, a liar that wants to remind us of everything that is bad about us. You sing a song like that, that will push him away. Anybody on this side that has had a... Yes, ma'am. Oh, wow, yeah.
And it's been on my heart a lot lately.
Definitely. I love it. I'm getting excited about that, too. What do you got? Praise you in the storm. You've had a storm going on lately, haven't you? A couple of them. Yeah. We praise him even in the midst of the storm. Any men? I tell you what, we get the men raised in their hands in this, and boy, we'll change the world. Yes, sir. Yeah. So Alexis is worshiping. and are we worshiping? Alexis ain't going to heaven, but we are. Worship him. Jesus is greater. He is greater. And how are you living that in your life? And men, I wasn't joking. I tell you, when we get the men to where they're raising their hands and they're bowing before the Lord and they're singing that new song and they're living the way that we see it, we will change the world. Ken, pray. Well, do you mind if I pray for us today, Ken? And then Josh will sing. And if you want to talk, I'll be over here. If we need to set up an appointment, we can do that too. If you'd like for me to pray for you, I would love to do that. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Father, when you care enough to just to lead through your word. Lord, thank you that you call us to praise you. You give us everything that we need to know, Lord. You tell us you are greater. You've answered that question. We know it. We know it. We know it. We know it. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. Lord, when we get into situations, whether it be life storms or good times or whatever it may be, and that song is there, but we don't sing it. Forgive me. Forgive us, Lord. Then when we sit back and we let the worship leader and the praise team and the choir sing, or we let stars and musicians on the radio sing, Lord, but we remain quiet in our heart. Even though we know you're greater, but we remain quiet, forgive us for that, Lord. Father, your word says that your rocks will cry out when we are silent. And Lord, I pray that you would help us not be silent. I pray that you would bring us to a place, whether we sing good or bad, sing songs that nobody else knows, or if we even sing them differently, or if we make them up as we go. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts in such a way, Lord, where you are glorified in our private lives, in our public lives, in our worship lives, in our neighborhood lives, and Lord, whatever our lives may be. Lord, I thank you for the women that are worshipful. Lord, I pray for our men, that you would break our hearts. Help us overcome the things that we experience in this nation of what it tells us to be and what not to be. And help us be men who love you. We know you are greater. Help us, Lord. Step out, Lord. Give us a new song, even if it's an old one that we haven't sung in a long time. Maybe it's one from our childhood. Maybe it's one we've never sung here before and never will sing here ever. But Lord, may it just well up in our heart, and may you be glorified through us, who is your temple of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you'd fill us, you'd overflow us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One last before Josh preaches, you know, or not preaches. You going to preach? Before he sing. Hey, I sang. You can preach. You don't have to preach good because I didn't sing good. But sure. Did you hear? She said a song that I've never heard, and she sang a song I've never heard. I did hear your song, and I'm familiar with your song, but you know, this isn't the only, you know, most of us, well, we just don't like that song. We just don't like that. You know, it's not about here. To take what songs you like and sing them, sing all the rest. Look at the words. You know, there's a lot of songs that Rhonda will lead us through. The choir sings that Josh sings sometimes. That it's just really not my song, but the message. I tell you what, we look at every word and they are theologically sound, and I'll pray those things. I may not want to sing this. I may not want to sing that. Maybe it's not my style. Maybe I can't. The big thing is I can't breathe through it. I mean, especially some of those slow hymns. It's not that I don't like the hymn. I just can't breathe through it. And so I'm thinking, you know, God, you are greater. God, you are awesome. You are, you know, whatever that song might be about. So I'll pray through him. I'll worship him through it. But you do not have to, your worship each and every day does not depend on what happens on that platform. It depends on what is in your heart each and every day as you seek the Lord through his word and through prayer.